This is Marketplace from APM. I'm Kai Rizdahl. Out on the campaign trail, we've heard both candidates talking about energy independence. It's a safe bet we're going to hear that phrase tomorrow in the first presidential debate. But really, energy independence, what exactly does it mean and what doesn't it mean? And moreover, how does any of that square with the realities of the energy markets? From the Marketplace Sustainability Desk, Scott Tong has this declaration.
When, in the course of human events, it becomes necessary to go on TV and proclaim freedom from foreign oil, energy pros start throwing stuff.
It's like listening to fingernails on a chalkboard, because you know better than this.
Yeah, I roll my eyes. It's kind of meaningless because, honestly, the U.S. actually does not use that much Middle Eastern oil.
Well, we've had this mythology of energy independence for a while.
You get the picture. First, let's talk about physical supply of oil, the idea we have to drill our own or get it from nearby friends. That mattered in the energy crisis of the 70s. Industry veteran Michael Herberg, now at the National Bureau for Asian Research, he remembers. He could only pump back then based on his license plate number.
We could fuel up on Friday coming over, and we could fuel up on Sunday going back, but not on Saturday. Odd even gas days and gas lines of 30 or 40 cars, running out of gas while they're in line, pushing their vehicles to the pump.
Back then, the oil markets were rigid. It's a little bit like your cable TV company. You're locked into a seller long term, and if something goes wrong, you're stuck. Today, we can always buy oil from somewhere. If you pay a high enough price, whistle and it'll come. Chevron veteran Ed Chow now thinks at a tank called the Center for Strategic and International Studies.
You can have a tanker that starts from the Persian Gulf, destined for Rotterdam, and discover that the higher market's in Singapore, and it will go to Singapore instead in mid-voyage.
Domestic supply matters less in today's global market of buyers and sellers. The good news is we can all get the oil. The bad news? We all pay the same basic price. So even if a country becomes totally self-sufficient, we all get nailed if there's a world shock. Chow recalls when Hurricane Katrina hit the Gulf.
Norwegian gasoline prices went up. Norway is an oil and gas exporter. Now, why should refinery closings in the United States affect them? Well, it did.
So to escape volatility, the trick to independence is not to get off foreign oil, but to get off oil, period. Still, there are other big benefits to producing more domestic oil. And the Americans are. In North Dakota, in the Gulf, in Texas, thanks to new technology and high prices. Ed Morris at Citigroup figures North America could be the next Middle East by 2020.
It's what we call reserve-to-production ratio, the number of years of production that we have. We were at around 20 years. 5 years ago, we're now at 120 years.
Morse may be the most bullish of the bulls. He thinks we can cut our oil imports down to zero.
And if we eliminate our import bill for oil, we're going to basically eliminate the deficit.
Perhaps. But say our oil imports don't go all the way down to zero, but they shrink by half. If and when prices spike, as they inevitably do, more of the oil producers making money would be Americans. Again, Michael Herberg.
A lot of that wealth will stay in the U.S.
So, yes, there could be big economic benefits to more self-sufficiency. But in a global market, free at last from price volatility and shocks, or energy indip, you know, I better not say it again. Makes these guys crazy. In Washington, I'm Scott Tong for Marketplace.